It's beautiful day. Good morning. Thank you. So just real quick, some important dates we need to remember, especially today. We're having a graduation party for Candace. Yay, out of Vesper Hills at 1. So proud of our girl. So I hope you guys are able to come out to the lodge. If not, talk to somebody. There's a lot of us going, so we can give you a ride. But we're going to have lunch out there and just a fun time. It's a gorgeous, beautiful day that the Lord has made. Amen. And we're going to rejoice in it out in the beautiful countryside of Vesper Hills. On May 24th at 8:30, we're going to have outdoor movie night. What are we watching? Do we know yet?
Sing.
What are we watching?
Sing.
Not familiar. Oh, great. It's the best movie ever. I can't wait to see it. Bring a chair, comfy chair, and come out and watch the movie Sing. June 8th. I know, we're already into June. We only got a couple weeks. That's a Sunday at 1:30. The 4-H band concert is going to be here at Faith. So stay after church. We're going to have lunch together, and then we'll go outside, hopefully, weather permitting, and be able to enjoy 4-H bands and their music, and we'll have a great time of fellowship. It'll be a lot of fun. There's a lot of participants in the 4-H band, so it's going to be a great time. On June 11th at 5, Texas Roadhouse fundraiser for Champions. That's always a lot of fun. I bring dates. We enjoy dinner, and it's from 3 to 10. And just make sure you tell your wait staff that you're here for the fundraiser for Champions. And there's also going to be door prizes that you would be able to participate in, and all the proceeds go to Champions. So make sure that you mark your calendar for that. And then June 28th from 3 to 9 is Hope Fest. Tag the line Supernatural Hope Fest from last year. And we're going to have local praise bands come, and we'll have some testimonies and just, again, enjoy what the Lord has made and the lives he's changed through Jesus Christ, and bringing hope to those that need hope through him. Amen. We had a great time last year, didn't we? Yeah, we did. We saw Christ last year, so I hope that you come. Candace, come up here. She didn't know we were going to do this. Well, I got something for that. We wanted to honor you, and I know we're going to have a party, but we are just so proud of you, and we're going to pause and give thanks to God and celebrate your special milestone and the life that our sister in Christ. Candace has faithfully completed her Bachelor of Science in Social Work at The Ohio State University. That is a tremendous achievement that reflects her dedication, her perseverance, and the calling God has placed on her life. And even more so, we are celebrating the doors God has opened for her. About providing a new position as a social worker at
Minerva Park
Behavioral Health. Candace isn't just stepping into a career, she's stepping into a calling that God has placed on her life. Her heart beats with compassion for those walking through dark valleys. In moments that others feel lost, Candace becomes a reflection of Christ's light, bringing warmth, direction, and hope. And her testimony is one of being an overcomer. She knows what it's like to be in that dark valley. She knows what it is to have people around her, surrounding her, lifting her up, and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ over her life, even when she threw a fit and said she didn't want to hear it. God is using her story to help write new stories of redemption in the lives of others. And 2 Corinthians says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. And that's what Candace does. That's exactly who she is. And we are just so proud of you, Candace, and so excited to see what God continues to do. So we got you some little goodies. If you ever have gotten anything from me, I'm a Tumblr girl, so you're going to get a Tumblr from me.
I love
it. But class of 2025. And then there's a card in there for you too, but my favorite thing. It says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Class of 2025. So, your little attire for your graduation party this afternoon, okay? I'm going to anoint you and we're going to pray over you and get the party started, because we're going to have a party today too at church. It starts now. Oh, if I can get it. There we go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for the life and the witness of Candace, your daughter. We thank you for the strength you've given her to walk this journey, the hurdles that she's overcome, and the calling you've placed upon her life. And today we give you praise and honor for her graduation and for the new beginning that she has, the open doors that you've made for her. We ask now for your blessing to rest powerfully upon her. Anoint her mind with wisdom, her hands with gentleness, and her heart with your compassion. And let her see each client not just with a professional insight. We know that she's going to see them through the lenses of Christ, seeing dignity, seeing potential, and the belovedness that just may be broken right now, but through you, you make all things new. And Candace knows that from experience, Lord. And we just give you praise and glory for that testimony that she has on her life. Guard her from discouragement. Guard her from burnout, because we know that a lot of social workers suffer from that because they just give so much of themselves to others. So just breathe your fresh fragrance of life into her, Lord. And that when she feels down, she takes a moment and she's able to recharge through your grace, recharge through your word and your protection over her. You're just showing off on her, Lord. You're showing off on her. And we just thank you and ask you to continue to show off through Candace and all of those that you've brought into this church, Faith Church, that's found you, that's found redemption through your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. We love you, girl. We're going to have fun.
You're welcome.
I put little stickers in there, too, that say grad, but I didn't know if you'd want them on your bag. They're sparkly and girly. Just that's something I would have done, but then I was like, you know, not everybody does that, Haley. So they're in there. If you want them, you can put them on yourself. Oh, and what do we do, church? Well, we praise, right? And what is praise? Praise isn't quiet. So if you came here for a quiet time of praise, you came to the wrong place. I'm sorry. Just kidding. You're at the right place. God loves it when we praise him. God loves it when we fill his courtroom with praise to him, and we are thankful and we honor him. So that's what we're going to do. So let's pray. That's okay. We're going to pray before we start our praise. Heavenly Father, thank you for this gorgeous day. Thank you for your protection, for your provision, Lord, that got us to this Sunday, that we are coming together in this sanctuary. We are coming together as a family in Christ to worship and honor you, Lord. And let us just put aside everything that we have, our checklist, our to-do list, you know, our mowing the grass, our whatever we have. Right now, it is for you. Right now, it is to learn your word, to see Christ through his word, and to lift up our praise as the praise team leads us into this time. And be with Paul as he gives us the words for him, helping and being the vessel that carries your message to us. Lord, he blesses us. But right now, we're not going to be quiet. We're going to give you the honor and praise you deserve as our almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. In Jesus' name, amen. And also, one thing I did forget, I wanted to thank the Evans' family and Sean and Bonnie for helping with the funeral service for Dave Moore. And all the women, Glenn and Cheryl and the Sunday school classes, all the ones that helped with the food and the luncheon for the family after, you were a blessing. So thank you so much for your help with all of it. They felt loved, and that's exactly how we should feel with the body of faith. That's who we are at Faith. So thank you so much. I did not want to forget to do that. So it's praise time. Our greeting is from 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. Since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we come into this time, into this space, and we bring offerings to you in our voices, in our songs that we lift up to you, in our worship, but also in the gifts that you've already given us, in our gifts, tithes, and offerings we place at your altar. We lift them up to you, and we ask that you bless them, and that you do what only you can do, that you multiply them to continue to build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven through Faith Church. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that's the kind of praise I'm talking about.
Amen.
Amen. God's rich blessings. Sometimes we just need to hear the promise, don't we? Amen. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy, blameless, and love before him. He adopted us as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavishes us. He just doesn't pour it on us. He just doesn't give us little drops. He lavishes it on us. It's a thick anointing in the beloved one. In him, we have redemption through his blood. I love that word, redemption. Have you ever had something redeemed? Maybe it's been your life. Maybe it's been a dream. Maybe it's been a job. I don't know, but I know that he redeemed my whole life. I'm saying this, he didn't just redeem the person that I am, because I died. The old me is done and dead. He redeemed my life in every aspect, everything that the enemy stole and killed. Through Christ, he redeemed it all back. You ask me, you want to say, he redeemed a house for my children and I to live in. Because we were living with my mom and dad. We didn't have a home. He redeemed it. He redeemed my job. I was able to take this job and provide for the two boys. Things that I wouldn't have thought was dead, it was. But he breathed new life into it. Paul sings a song, Redemption. Oh, and it's beautiful. That word, don't take that word redemption lightly. When you pray for redemption through Jesus Christ, he is able to redeem the things you never could have thought possible. His blessings over our lives is so much more than what we could ever comprehend. I remember going to apartments. I remember these random houses, seeing that they're for rent. And I'm telling you, I had that, went up to those steps and I'm anointing it and I'm praying over it. Because I needed a place. I needed a home for the boys and I to go to. And he had to do something. What he did, I didn't just rent. I owned it. I was able, and it was not through anything I did. I get a loan on my own with the devastation and everything that happened in my past. I got to sign those papers on my own. Did I ever walk up to a house and say, oh Lord, let me go to a bank and get this loan so this can be in my name? No, I didn't. But that's his redemption. He did not put himself in a box according to my prayer. It was according to his lavish love on me and the blessings in the heavenly places that he was able to do that. Amen. I just had to give you that little word. Now let's do, this is my Bible. This is my Bible. It is the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I'm a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
Let us pray. My Lord Jesus, you have risen to a new life. Give me new eyes with which to recognize your presence in the world around me. Sharpen my vision so that I see beyond the ordinary events of each day and into the extraordinary reality of your grace. Brighten my view of the world with renewed hope in the coming of your kingdom. Soften my gaze so that I will view others with kind tenderness and compassion you show to so many. May each day of this after Easter season provide a glimpse of your glory. In your sacred name, I pray. Amen. So, I'm not a tech person, but my computer at home crashed. Luckily, I had kind of had some warning, so I downloaded everything onto a thumb drive, and I have it. But my new computer's not shipping until June 5th or 6th. So I got my computer from work, and I took it home, and I thought, okay, I'm going to type this out. But then, I don't know how to hook it up to my printer to be able to print it out. So, I'm here with my computer so that I can read it to you. So if my computer goes out, I'll sing a song and we'll leave, okay? Until then, I'll bring you the message that I was directed for. Pastor Jeff reminded us quite a while ago that every Sunday is the Sunday after Easter. What does that mean to us? Are we going through our daily lives looking for Jesus, looking for the risen Christ in this cruel world we are of today? Are we being his hands and his feet and the example he needs us to be by showing his love through our actions? Are people seeing him in action in us? These are difficult questions. Jesus lived over 2,000 years ago, but I'm here to tell you that right after his crucifixion and resurrection, his own disciples didn't see him before them. John 21:4-6 reads, "When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing by the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you caught anything to eat?' They answered him, 'No.' So he said to them, 'Cast the net over the right side of the boat and you will find something.'" It's one of those most perplexing themes repeated across the Easter stories. Each time the risen Christ appears, no one initially was able to recognize him. Mary Magdala thought he was the gardener. The disciples on the road to Emmaus just think that he was a fellow traveler. And now at sunrise on the shore of Galilee, once again, none of Jesus' favorite fishermen were able to recognize that it was him until he tells them to cast the net over the other side of the boat. And they hauled in a great catch. Immediately, Peter said, "It's the Lord," and jumps into the water and swims toward Jesus. How did Peter suddenly know? There's nothing to say that Jesus' appearance changed in that moment, just as there is no indication it changed for Mary or the disciples in Emmaus. In each of these instances, the risen Jesus must not have looked like the Jesus they had known before. Rather, his friends are suddenly able to recognize it is Jesus only when he does something that they associated with him. On the shoreline, Peter recognized that he has heard these odd instructions to cast out his net on the other side of the boat once before, on the day Jesus called him to become a fisher of men. The disciples on Emmaus became aware of that it was the risen Christ when he sits at the table and breaks bread with them, just as he had so many times, most notably at the Last Supper. Mary Magdala knows it is the risen Christ when he calls her by her name. No stranger could address her more intimately. Looking back now, we can spot that Jesus was guiding his friends through a difficult but important period of transition. Before his death, they recognized him by sight. In the time of the resurrection, Jesus needed them to learn to recognize him instead by signs, by actions, characteristics of his earthly ministry. He wanted his friends to know that when they witnessed one of these loving actions, whether they could see him or not with their eyes, he was still very much with them. Even today, this is what the risen Christ remains present to his friends. In healthcare, we understand this well. We know that if our patients and residents encounter Jesus within our care facilities, it will not be because they see him with their eyes, but because they experienced him in the gentle laying on of healing hands, in the touching of wounds, in compassionate voices that call them by name, and in the experience of being fed. These ancient actions, so characteristic of Jesus during his time on earth, continue to be the way that makes himself known today. Except that today, the communication of Christ's presence, if it is to be communicated at all, happens through our hands, through our voices. The 16th century Spanish Saint Teresa of Avila wrote, "Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on his world. Yours are the feet which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world." In our after Easter journey this week, let us join Peter, Mary, and the disciples at Emmaus, marveling at the risen Jesus, continuing presence in every act of loving care. Moreover, let us offer our hands and feet as the means by which Christ can continue to act here on the earth. God communicates with people in many ways. One of those ways is through visions. God communicates with Peter through a vision in Acts. So Acts 11, verses 1 through 18, if you want to follow here with your Bible, Acts 11, 1 through 18, and I'm using the NIV. The apostles and believers through Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to where I was, and I looked in it and saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has entered my mouth.' The voice from heaven said a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was pulled up into heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came to them, as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gives us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they said no further objections, praising God and saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Our next scripture is from the Psalms. It reminds us that the Lord deserves all the praise we can give him and for everything he has given us. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens and praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the Lord, for his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Our next scripture comes from the New Testament Gospel of John. Here Jesus gives his disciples a new command to love one another. Are you showing the world through your actions who God really is, who Jesus Christ really is, and leading them to everlasting life with him? God is love. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ, the Son, and our Lord. John 13:31-35. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Our final scripture is from the book of Revelations. Here John, on the island of Patmos, is given a vision of a new heaven and a new earth where all who are saved will live for eternity with God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. Revelation 21:1-6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." What a glorious sight. Can you picture what they're describing here? Being able to see the Lord face to face, being there forever, praising God. I'm reminded of a Christian movie, a true story that was made into a motion picture from a song written by Bart Marshall Millard. The song and the movie are entitled "I Can Only Imagine." I've heard it sang at funerals, seen it in the movie and listened to it on the radio. And every time and every instance that it made me feel that emotion deep in my stomach and touch my heart. I'd like to sing it for you now.
imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees and will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. Only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe on you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees and will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in on you be still, or will I stand in your presence to my knees and will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine. For I'm sure that I can never see or fathom all the Lord has in store for us in heaven. No need for sun, because Jesus is the light. No more sorrow, no more pain, allowing us to sing praises all of the time, to worship him forever. But here's the reality of it all. Not everyone here on earth will be able to experience this. We have one job here on earth, and that is to allow his light to shine through us and encourage others to know him too. To encourage others to come into a personal relationship with him and to lead as many people to him as humanly possible. What do people see in you? Are your actions leading people to him or not evident enough for them to see his light in you? Are you attracting people or driving them away? I only hope that somewhere, sometime I have planted a seed, or nurtured that seed, or watered that seed, or in some way protected that seed to allow it to grow into the very plant that goes to heaven to be with him. I open today with a prayer for you, for only you. Did you hear it? I want to close with those same thoughts. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I come to you today after Easter. I can only imagine what is in store for us in your glory. Help me to shine your light through me in everything I say and do. Give me new eyes with which to recognize your presence in the world around me. Sharpen my vision so that I see beyond the ordinary events of each day and into the extraordinary reality of your grace. Brighten my view of the world with a renewed hope in the coming of your kingdom. Soften my gaze so that I view others with kind of tenderness and compassion you showed to so many. May each day of this after Easter season provide glimpses of your glory. In your sacred name I pray. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when you walk out of here today, what will people see in you? Will they see God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ? And can you lead somebody else to him? That's our job as Christians of this world, because there are so many bad things out there in this world. But the only way they're going to get to heaven is to give their lives to him. Amen? Amen. Have a blessed day and a blessed week.